So for those of you who've been to camp, just show of hands, just somehow, some way, been to camp, involved in camp, I want to thank you. And especially for those of you who may not have been to camp, but still pray for camp and support camp in financial ways, we appreciate it. Camp is not camp without you all, without people coming to help. We can't have camp without you. For instance, this past year, counting our weekend camps, not counting our guest groups that come on weekends, over 2,400 campers have come through the gates at Turkey Hill this past season. So 2,400 people, accommodating 2,400 people is not an easy task. For those of you who don't know, we have over 750 acres. We have 52 horses. We have multiple buildings, houses, staffing quarters, you name it, we have it. So there's a lot that goes on at camp, not just during our season of camp, during the summer, but even off season. We have plenty going on. We don't sit around and have a bonfire and roast and make s'mores, okay? We do have weekend camps. We don't right now, thankfully, because of the holidays, but come January, we start up with weekend camps. Again, we have different guest groups that come, churches, youth groups, you name it, from small ladies retreats to maybe 40, 50 ladies to youth groups that bring conglomerate of youth groups, and we could have 200 plus kids there again. Family camps, a conglomerate of churches, we could have one weekend, we had like 280 campers, just family camp for a weekend camp. So no, we don't just sit around during our quote unquote off season. And we do a lot of remodeling, repairing, fixing. You can imagine your own home and repairing and fixing and maintaining your own home as opposed to multiple buildings and homes down at camp. So at this point, I would like to say, if you haven't been to camp and you are so led, we would love to have you. If you have to pause because maybe you're getting married or you had a child, or that's okay too. You can still come back later on. We have all ages come and help at camp. Even if you're retired, we have retirees that still come down to camp and participate in different activities and different service that we need at camp. As you know, there's a handful of us that stay on the grounds all year long. There's myself, and there's Rodney and Pam and Steve and Karen. There's Jimmy and Ashley and their boys, and Noah and Lacey, Jeremy and Bree, Debbie, and myself. That's all who's there during the all year round, basically. We're there all year round with your help at high traffic areas, so to speak. So that's a little bit about Turkey Hill, a little bit about myself. And please pray. There's a lot going on, and I'll get into that as we get done, as we get toward the end of the message. I've got pictures of what went on at camp, what we're doing, what we've done, and what the needs are. The needs, you know what the number one need is? Prayer. Prayer. Since I have been to camp, I went down in 2019, I know, it seems like a forever ago, okay? That was wasn't my first year, but that was my transition year. My prayer life has grown exponentially because seeing what the Lord does right in front of your eyes, it's amazing. Kids get saved, lives get changed, young people, the community, I mean, my goodness, wait till I tell you what we did in the community and the outreach in the community. We've been there over 50 years, so they know who we are, but yet they've somewhat kind of been standoffish at times. It's like going to Mayberry, let me put it that way. We did two I'll tell you about that now, and then we'll get into a few verses. We did two outreaches this summer. We did during our staff training, and we did it during discipleship. We thought, how could we reach the community? So we decided we'll do a free car wash, right? So Mayberry, Freeburg, puts out on their Facebook that we're doing this free car wash. The Catholic Church there in Freeburg let us use their parking lot. The city of Freeburg let us use their water and their facility to draw all of the power and everything that we needed from their facility, which is right next to the parking lot at the Catholic Church, okay? So just so you know, I'm standing in Dollar General. I have my logoed shirt on. I don't know this lady from anybody, right? Oh, you're from Turkey Hill? I hear you guys are doing a free car wash this weekend. Out of the blue. Lady I call, that the company that fills up our gas tank at camp. Hey, Carol, I couldn't pick her out of a lineup. Hey, Carol, it's Jim from Turkey Hill. We need the tank filled whenever you can schedule it in. Okay, great. We'll schedule it. We'll send somebody. After the car wash, I call her. Hey, Carol, Jim, Turkey Hill, we need the tank filled again. Hey, were you at the car wash? I tried to find you. I mean, everybody knew what it was about, okay? The staff was great. We did it during discipleship, and we changed it a little bit. And we put out a sign, what can we do? What can we pray for you for? We had people literally get out of their car and come and sit with us and talk about spiritual things. We gave them a bag, you know, a little like lunch bag with the tracts that Kevin has written, with a bottle of water and some cookies. Say, here, we want to give you something else that's free. So all of those people, and listen, nonstop. We did not have any downtime. I pulled the bus in to get it washed, and five more people came in behind it, so I had to move the bus. So there was nonstop flow of people from the community. Not only did they get their cars washed, but they got to hear what Turkey Hill is about and what we want to help in the community do. And those people, you know, they asked for prayer, and a lot of them we know. And so it was really, we're really trying to make an impact, not only just for the campers and our staff, which I'll get to, but also in the community. And it's really an answer to prayer, because we have prayed for people in the community daily, almost every time we get together. The major window company, Quaker, has given us probably tens of thousands of dollars of windows at no cost to us. So the community is very generous. Our local lumber company gives us their end bales, what they call it. It's just the leftover wood after they get done. We've put together so many projects using that wood. If it's bowed, we cut it off. We use what we can. And we looked at it. If we were to buy it, it was over $7,000 of lumber that they gave us. So we try to give back to the community as much as we can and let them know what's going on. So this morning, I just want to share, if you were at camp this summer, if you got the green t-shirt with the tennis shoe on it, right? Our theme this past year was Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, to walk worthy. That was our theme for our staff this year. How many of you got that shirt? Okay, so I'm sure some of you have seen it. So in Colossians, it comes down to walk worthy. And so what does that mean? It doesn't mean I have to walk in an upright position with my chest out and my, you know, no, it's a metaphor. How we are to walk in this world is what Paul is talking about. And what he starts out with in the beginning, if you go to Colossians chapter 1, we'll just read the first 10 verses. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to Timothy, our brother, to the saints in the church at Colossae. And then he goes on and he gives thanks. And for the sake of time, we'll just kind of skim through it. He talks about who was there. He talks about their fruit being increased. And he talks about the information that has been sent back to him. And he gets down to verse 9 and he says, for this reason alone, but he starts out, let me start out with this. He starts out with grace and peace, right? In this passage, he starts out with grace and peace. And we know what grace is, right? It's the unmerited favor. But what is peace? Peace gives us a sense of wholeness, of well-being that we experience when we're in this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So I don't know about you, but there's never a day that goes by that I don't need God's grace. And it wasn't just something that was a small portion. It wasn't just added. It was to be multiplied, this grace and peace, to be multiplied. So the bottom line here is Paul was dealing with what was going on. They were a faithful church. Things were going well. He wants their grace and peace to multiply. Literally, he wants them to focus on God and not their problems. I mean, let's face it. A lot of times when trouble hits, we focus on the issue, the problem. And you know what? There are times we can't even change that, right? So we need to focus on God. And what does the Lord want us to learn through this? How does he want us to handle this? Whatever the case might be, whatever season of life you're in, not like Eeyore, our guy here, right? It could be worse. I'm not sure how, but it could be, right? We don't need to have that kind of attitude because let's face it. We know, I know, I've experienced it. Life is not easy. We hit bumps in the road all of our life, whether young, school, marriage, family, children, retirement, finances, job, you name it. Those bumps in the road come. Do you know that it is possible for a believer who's experienced the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ not to enjoy it, this grace, on a daily basis? Because they got this kind of attitude. Well, it's so bad, it could be worse. So Paul explains in detail how we and the church at Colossae can experience this. And he talks about their faithful ministry in verse 9. It says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I don't know about you, until I looked at Paul's prayers. Actually, my brother Kevin mentioned it to me. He's like, go look at Paul's prayer. See how he prays. So I did. I never used to pray like this. I never used to ask the Lord to give me knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I never used to pray for our leaders in that fashion. Leaders of our country, leaders of our local church. When was the last time you prayed for the elders at Fenton Crossing that they would be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding? Don't get me wrong. Prayer is a powerful thing, and we need to pray for illness. We pray for things like that all the time. Needs, circumstances in our life. But we also need to pray for the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spiritual wisdom, and understanding. D.L. Moody said this, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. It all starts there. Because the battle belongs to the Lord. We need to take it to him. Yeah, we're going to get knocked around with every circumstance that comes our way. But how do we deal with it? Paul's saying, look, you need spiritual growth. You need to avoid the false teachers, the heresies. Are you ready? He's asking the church there, are you ready? Are you seeing what's going on? Yes, they were a faithful church. Yes, they were doing things right. But there was some heresy going on. There was people coming in and he's saying, look, you need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. despite their faithfulness, Paul addresses the one thing, and that's the growth, okay? Not only did they need it then, we need it now. I don't remember who said this, but I actually put it in my notes. Listen carefully. As you know, one of the fundamentals of our Christianity is the aspect of faith, right? And I quote, "It often happens that in prayer, we are really saying, 'Thy will be changed,' when we ought to be saying, 'Thy will be done.' We pray not in order to escape life, but in order to better able meet life. We pray not in order to withdraw ourselves from life, but in order to live in the world as we ought to live." Think about that. Do we pray, "Thy will be changed," or "Thy will be done"? The Lord gives us the desires of our heart. The Lord also wants us to grow in the knowledge of His will. Lord, how do you want me to handle this? Lord, how do you... Look, you'd asked me in 2018, I'd have looked you straight in the face and said, "There's no way I'm going to Turkey Hill." Okay? I was on my coast retirement job out with Bunny Bread, Lewis Bakeries, right? Easy peasy job. Health insurance, pension, the whole nine yards. Retirement, money, car, the whole kit and caboodle, right? Well, here I am, right? Not thy will, not my will, Lord. I wanted to stay there. That was gravy. That job was a walk in the park compared to what I was doing. But the Lord put it on my heart, and I went to the leadership here at Fenton, and I basically said, "Listen, this is what the Lord's put on my heart. If you come back and say, 'No, it's not for you,' I'll take it from the Lord," right? I stepped out of it and wanted the Lord's will to be done. I'm just using that as an example. I'm not trying to say, "Oh, look at me." I'm just saying life changes happen because of the will of the Lord. And we are to grow in that knowledge of the will of the Lord. So he talks about spiritual growth then and now. Then he talks about the wisdom. I didn't put this up on the screen, but the knowledge of God, again, is the fundamental part of our faith, and it's based primarily on how God speaks to us through His Word, right? Could I hear an amen? The Lord speaks to us through His Word, right? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces, okay? Do you know what else it does? It says when we know that the Bible says that faith comes by what? Hearing the Word of God. And so that the more one knows, we obviously have more confidence and faith in what we're learning about the Lord. And here's what it does. It reveals who God is. It imparts wisdom. It changes people. It builds trust. It leads to obedience. And it leads to understanding of what's going on in the world. I mean, let's face it. The world is in chaos, right? We just went through an election. We've got wars. We've got, you name it. It's going on. So God's Word, not only does it just, it reveals who God is, not only who He is, but what He wants from us and what He has in store for us. Have you thought about that? Knowing God and what He has. I can't wait. Come back today, Lord. I'm ready. I can't wait for the new heaven and the new earth. Sign me up now. Right? So knowing God's Word is knowing what He has in store for us. Even amidst all of our turmoil and troubles, we know, as Scott said this morning, we can build the war profiles, but we know how it's going to end. We win. We win. Because of God, because of what the Lord has done for us, right? It imparts wisdom. God's word is spirit and life. When we hear it, what do? We bear fruit. It changes people. That's a no-brainer, right? Funny thing happened on my way to hell. Guess what? I got saved, right? God's word changes people. It builds trust. The more you know, the more you realize it's true, right? You can't refute it. So what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do comes from knowing him. Leads to obedience. That's a no-brainer also. And it leads to understanding. So it leads to growth and prayer, studying God's word, right? When we study God's word, these things affect our lives. I'm assuming Jacqueline and Scott do the bulletin for Fenton. I still get it every week. And I'm thankful for that. But what was pressed on me that I've noticed is they announce who the speaker is and who the next speaker, week speaker is. And it says, as he prepares to bring us the word, please what? Pray. Pray for what? That the Holy Spirit would be present while studying, revealing key insights, knowledge from God's word. She didn't know I was speaking on this, or Scott, whoever put this in there. I don't know if one of the elders said put this in there. I don't know how it got in there. But this is what we pray for. Spiritual understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, and growth. Growth, it says in clear, 2 Peter, to grow in the grace and the knowledge. So we know what the threat was at Colossae, right? There was some people coming in and they had some new ideas. So he was telling them, look, you need to grow in the wisdom, not only in the wisdom, the knowledge and understanding. You know, and a lot of times you get people who come in and they know these things. And I put over here that knowledge includes spiritual wisdom, covers our whole range of our mental faculties, spiritual understanding, knowledge on how to apply the wisdom. Okay, so knowing it is good. How are you going to apply it? How do I apply knowing what God wants me to do? How do I apply that? It says in Proverbs that the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It says in Psalms, it says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. So what was happening in Colossae, there was these people who came in, they wanted you to be in the know. Hey, I studied this, I got something new, okay? So what happens a lot of times, these false teachers come in, and they come in and they say, look, you could be the first to know this. I found some new truth, okay? We know there's nothing new under the sun, right? Ecclesiastes pretty much tells us that. Now, we might have a different view on certain things. We might have a different understanding on certain things. So what's the main goal that Paul is trying to tell them? He's like, the goal is to fully understand God's word and not to get detoured and go down some rabbit trail where you believe in something that 99.9% of everybody else is scratching their head saying, where did you get this? Well, I've been really studying and you know, I added these numbers up and I did this and I found this. And, you know, I really think it says this, instead of taking the whole context, the cultural setting, the whole ball of wax, and don't just pluck some, I've been studying this for 3 months. Makes the person sound really smart, doesn't it? They might have a big head. I've been really pounding away at this. And then all of a sudden you're like scratching your head because what are you talking about? So that's what was happening then, and it can happen here. It could happen to me. Hey, I found this new thing, you know. No, that's really what I believe. No, you got to understand, if you add this and do, it doesn't work like that. Okay, what do we pray for? We pray for spiritual understanding and knowledge and growth, right? So that is the threat that's going on. So we get down to our key verse, which is 110. It says to walk worthy. Walking worthy includes bearing fruit, right? It says walk in a manner worthy, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Could a believer not bear fruit. They could. They could go off the deep end, right? If they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life, they're a believer. The Lord says they are. And they could walk away from what they believe and not bear any fruit. So what happens a lot of times in Christendom today, and I don't want to go down this road too far, but, well, because they're not bearing fruit, they're not really a believer. If we don't know their heart, right? And listen to me, don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? Walking worthy has nothing to do with eternal life. Walking worthy is a discipleship, step-by-step walk, okay? In faith alone, in Christ alone. That's it. The Lord paid for our sins. He rose from the dead. The penalty's been paid. He offers us a free gift. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's on our sign at Turkey Hill. John 3:36 says, the one who believes what? Has eternal life. The one who refuses to believe will not see life. So please understand, walking worthy is a discipleship walk. Once saved, always saved. Okay? Now, could you get derailed? Of course you can. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen to our staff. I've seen staff that have come and have been on fire for the Lord and are so far off the tracks, it makes my head hurt. I almost want to cry. Because they get off the path. Because they go down this road of, well, I think I know better. And they don't. So walking worthy is step by step. You know, walking worthy and walking in spiritual growth is step by step. Do you know that walking away is step by step? Look at Abraham and Lot. Do you think Lot woke up one day and said, hey, I'm going to go live in the most wicked city in the world. See ya. Thanks, Uncle Abraham. Bye. No. He looked. He's like, man, it's really nice over there. I'm going to go over there. So he hung out there for a while. Then he looks up and he's like, well, you know what? Looks even better over there. So I'm going to go there. So step by step, Lot walked away from the will of the Lord. And what did Abraham do? Great contrast. We don't have time to look at it. Abraham waited, it says in Genesis, he waited on the Lord. And what did the Lord say? Abraham, now look up and see what I have for you. How exciting is that? Lord, what do you have for me? Let me wait on you. What is your will for me right now? So that was our key verse. And then it comes down to that the Lord is our strength. We can do all things. And then it ends up in verse 12 and 13 about being thankful, right? Being thankful. One, we are to bear fruit. Second, we are to grow. We are to gain strength and knowledge, and we are to be thankful. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful the Lord has moved me, and it talks about it in Colossians, from the dominion of darkness into what? His marvelous light. How exciting is that? As a believer, that we have been removed from our dominion of dark, from the dominion of darkness into His marvelous light. That's my encouragement this morning. We're going to shift gears for the next few minutes and talk about the ranch. Oh, look at that. It's even up there. I love it when technology works. Okay? So I'm going to go through these and just give you some brief what's going on. That's during espionage, and many of you have played espionage. Many of you have directed espionage. That's down, by the way, 2 weeks ago, that was all completely underwater. The lake has become a super popular place, okay? If you have kids that have been there, if you've been there, we add something, we try to add something new. This year we added the piece that connects the trampoline to the main section. It's called Barricade. Kids love it. Okay. At one point this summer, I was down at the lake and I could have sworn every kid was in the lake. Every life jacket was used. I actually called for more staff to come down and be a lifeguard and just eyes to see. There was that many kids in the lake. I was scared, quite frankly. I literally radioed up. I said, send me 3 staffers that can lifeguard right now to the lake. That's how many people were in the lake. So it is a lot of fun. We have staff training. We start out our year after our Memorial Day and our weekend camps. We have staff training. For those of you who have been to staff training and those of you who have sent your kids, thank you. Okay? Your kids are hard workers. We couldn't do camp without them. We get camp ready during staff training. We go through a lot of our, from a higher look at what we expect at camp and how we're to behave at camp and some of our policies and procedures at camp. So we can get ready for the onslaught of week after week after week after week of camp for the summer, which is a lot of fun. I am thrilled to death when camp is full of campers. I love it. The most sad day of the year for me is when I have to drain the pool because nobody's going to be getting in it until I... Then I think, well, I'm going to fill it up again, so there'll be more people in it next year. So Jim Robertson... The pool still stands. Jim was involved with engineering the pool, and it still stands. And by the way, we fixed most of the leaks this year, so we're not leaking water anymore. So that pool's been there, what, since the mid-80s, roughly? Yeah. So we get ready for camp. We do a lot of different activities. There's the pool. A lot of staff that come. You can come for a week, come for multiple weeks, come for the whole summer. Oh, that's our shirt, by the way. Walk worthy. That's was last year's shirt. So we have different activities. We have different needs for camp, to cover camp. This is during teen camp. They do a color run. We have a rock wall at the pool, fishing at the lake. I've had campers, when I used to counsel, I had campers that would spend all their free time at the lake fishing. I want to go fishing. They fished all day long. Great. That's what you want to do. A lot of time in God's Word, memorizing His Word. Friendships are made. We have new pickleball courts. I'll get to that. The lake has a ton of activities. A lot of times the kids just sit, they'll be sitting there, and well, that's Elena, most of you know her, she was counseling this year, just sitting with the kids and talking to them, hey, what's going on, and what do you do, what do you like, and then you can always bring it around to spiritual things, every day with our staff. Funny, Kevin talked about Exodus this morning, story about this, one of the weeks the directors did a Children of Israel theme, right? So on Thursday afternoon, before the meeting, Thursday evening, we chased all the, Pharaoh chased all the campers down to Rodney and Pam's, because the whole week was on what was going on in Israel and how the Lord provided, et cetera, et cetera. And here's the irony of the whole story. I happen to be Pharaoh. I wasn't on a horse, which I should have been, because we have several of them. So I'm in the back of a UTV with somebody driving. I'm dressed up as Pharaoh, and these kids are tired, right? You think things would change? No. Some of the kids were like, can we go back? I'm like, what? You're going to the promised land. Because we had popsicles and stuff farmed down there, right? No, they were weary, and they were tired, and they wanted to go back. So when we get down there, the speaker that week was Kevin Stiles, actually. He talked about, did you want to go back? Here's what the Lord has for you, et cetera, et cetera. So the whole themed week ended up Thursday night on this, which was a lot of fun. Then we did bus them all back up to the top. We had their bus and our bus. So, but camp, these kids' experiences, let me tell you about Junior 7. Okay, we've added programs. So we added Junior 7 was not this past summer, but the summer before. We never had the seventh week. I was on the board of directors back in the day with Turkey Hill, and I always wanted to add another week of camp because we always had this huge waiting list. So Junior 7, not this past summer, but the summer before, we had 154 kids. This past summer, Junior 7, we had 178. So it's getting bigger. It's the last week. It's the last week of July, beginning of August, right? Here's the interesting thing. I'm there. If you've been to camp, you know I like to serve the meals. So here we are, Sunday night, corn dogs, right, Judy? Yeah, where's Hannah? Corn dog Sunday, right? So this camp, these kids come in and they sit down at the table. Okay, if you've been to camp, that's not the norm, right? You come up to the counter, you get your food and your tray, and you go sit down, right? And I'm looking at the other servers, and I'm like, what is going on? I'm thinking maybe the director said, hey, go in and sit down at your table, and I'll call you up when I get inside, because sometimes it gets too hot, and the directors will have them come in. It's air-conditioned, blah, blah, blah. So I go out to the table, and I'm walking down there. I said, hey, why aren't you guys coming up to get your food? Oh, we don't know what to do. I'm like, what? How many of you are here for the first time? Every kid in that cabin was there for the first time. So then I'm standing at the chapel later on, and this little boy comes running. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm late. I couldn't remember where the chapel was. I said, you're on time, buddy. Let's go. So the next morning, it dawns on me. The next morning, I go around table to table, literally every table. I said, how many of you are new? There were 108 new campers that week that had never been to Turkey Hill. 108. So naturally, you know me as the salesman. So what do you like about camp? What's your favorite thing to do? Because, you know, I like to improve camper. We like to improve camper experience every year. So just want to let you know that prayer was answered because that was a big decision for us as camp and the board to add another week. And it has worked out really well. Any of this look familiar, Daniel? Discipleship week. Going to make a note about this. You send your kids to camp. You can come too. The week of July 4th every year, we take a week, no campers, just our summer staff. We bring in speakers. Last year, it's always Michael Williams. He directs. He's kind of our poster guy and leader for our discipleship program. He brings in other speakers, so it's him and Steve Price. We spend a week with our staff in study of the Word of God. And each year, we have it laid out literally for 4 years on what it's going to be. So literally in 4 years, you can get equivalent of teaching as like 3 semesters in a Bible college. Okay? We've laid it out very strategically for our staff. Our staff also have their own staff speaker. So when you send your kids to camp and you send your teenagers or your college age or whoever, your kids, they have a speaker designated specifically for their meeting. So there's a lot. Our theme is souls saved, obviously, right? That's our main goal. Souls discipled, that's to disciple our staff that come. And then souls sent out. That's the whole camp ministry, right? To keep the main thing is to the clarity of the gospel, so souls get saved, and then discipleship, so these kids and teenagers and college kids can go on. I mean, let's face it. You guys know it. We see it at camp. Kids drop off when they become teenagers. They get involved with work. They get involved with school. Maybe they get drawn away from the church. So we're trying to capture that age group with our discipleship program. Oh, here's the bus. So this was up in Freeburg. Okay, that was our sign we had on the bus. So we had people that would stop. And then, of course, we washed a bunch of cars. We also added to our wilderness program, if you love to go down the river, I'll go on a day trip, but I don't want to sleep out there. So we added back the girls' wilderness. God bless Veronica. The year before last was a tough one. Veronica got stuck out in the river and we had to go get them early. So it was not an easy task. But You know, there are people that endure, so we added Girls Wilderness back. So basically, they come to camp, we bus them down to the current river below Salem, and then we pick them up on the other side of Eminence. So if you know that area, it's way down there, okay? So we added the Girls Wilderness back into the program, and 2 years ago, we added another Boys Wilderness, and now I'm happy to tell you that this coming season, we're actually adding another Boys Wilderness because it's so popular. So we have leaders ready to go, so we're adding another week to that particular ministry. So we take them down, like I said, we have our own canoes and our own equipment. They cook, they do everything, we dump them. This particular crew, this is how their trip ended. Well, it didn't end here. Do you remember the hurricane that came through in July? The leftover hurricane and all the rains. So get this. Get a phone call. It's Tuesday night. They've only been on the river now Monday night, and now it's Tuesday night. They're at Pool Tight, if any of you know where that's at. Andy's on the river. Andy is the co-chair, vice president of the board. He calls me and he says, listen, we pulled off, the river's going up, the river's closed. They want us to leave. It's 8:30 at night. I'm 2 hours away from them, okay? I said, Andy, I said, I'll do whatever you want. If you need me to come and get you, I'll load up the bus and I'll come and get you and we'll pick you up. I won't be there till about 11:30 or midnight. He's like, okay, let me talk to the ranger. So he calls me back 15 minutes later. He's like, the ranger said we can stay. We just need to move up further. He's like, but you need to be here first thing in the morning because he wants us out of here. I'm like, great, I'll be there first thing in the morning. He's like, we want to go somewhere else. I said, okay. I said, there's something State Park, Echo Bluff, Echo something State Park that's close by. Andy called reserved campgrounds. So I took him from the river to the campground so they finished their trip at the campground along an inlet of the river so they could swim and fish and do all that stuff. So again, worked out, thankfully. It just rained and rained and rained. And when, I don't know if you've ever been to Pool Tight, the water was almost up to the ranger station, for those of you who have been there. The road was completely under. They were up by the upper pavilion when I picked them up. So anyway, Ranch Hand, when we added Junior 7, we added another week of Ranch Hand, and rumor on the street is there's a whole group of girls that are going down this summer, right, Miss Jessie? Yep. So Ranch Hand is another program that deals just with horses, 10 campers. We have our own staff. They have their own. It's like camp within a camp. They do their own thing. So it's quite, you get assigned a horse. That's your horse for the week. You get to groom them, ride them, saddle them. Listen, you have to like horses, okay? If your kids don't like horses, don't sign them up for Ranch Hand, okay? Because they're with horses every day. Veronica's been there. Veronica spoke for Ranch. Like, you have to like horses. Yes. All right. But there are kids. I mean, this fills up immediately. So that's why we've added more weeks of that. So what's going on? We added another obstacle. We had not one, not three. We had 4 water main breaks before camp started. Fixed them all, thankfully. Not a fun thing. Robert, you'll appreciate this. Milked this furnace and air conditioner for 2 years. This is in the gym. It finally bit the dust. More cost to fix than to replace it. I literally had to hotwire it to get the air conditioner to work in the summer, okay? It was that messed up. So anyway, we had to replace that. Big to-do. We did all 15 rooms upstairs in oak. We basically gutted them, painted them, put in new everything. So you can see the pictures there. Yes, you don't have to duck underneath the shower head for you tall people that have been there, okay? We moved up the shower head. Look, you can't even see it. It's way up there now, okay? We changed the bedding. Our walk-in cooler, for those of you who have cooked. Hannah, you experienced this. We didn't have it fixed till the week you came. Teen week, walk-in cooler goes down. Took us 2.5 weeks to find the replacement because I wanted the exact same one that we did downstairs a year earlier. Pickleball, took the basketball courts, sealed them. Micah, Ashley, Jimmy, they sealed the cracks, they painted it. We have three wonderful pickleball courts, and let me tell you, they get used a ton. Our local window company gave us the rest of the windows to do the lobby windows. Oh, our lovely round pen, if you've been on Ranch Hand, the roof was like about to fall over, so we took it down and we replaced it. So those are some of the things that we've done. So real quick, things to pray for. Let me start by saying we've changed our bylaws. We have new ones. We're changing. We used to be Faith Fellowship, Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. Long story short, in midst of changing all of that, we've run into a couple of snags with the IRS. So we have retained Amber as our in-house attorney, and now we have retained someone that Emmaus recommended to deal with transitioning our name, because we need that. So please pray. It's a 9 to 12 month process. It's going to take that long. There may or may not be penalties. There may or may not be some more snags, but we're trying to get it all straightened out. So please, please, please pray to that end. The other thing that we're doing, we've had to replace some things this summer. We replaced our truck. So we've run into some costly repairs, but the Lord has provided, and we're moving forward. For those of you who have counseled, we're putting air conditioning in bunkhouse, okay, for the girls, and we're going to turn on the air conditioning in Cedar for the boys. For those of you who staffed, our next plan is, this off season, is to put air conditioning in Oak also. Big undertaking, 10 rooms at bunk, 10 at bunk, 30 at Oak. So that's a big, not only cost, but time consuming. So please pray for those things specifically. And then our staff for this coming summer, and thank you all for staffing this summer, this past summer. Please consider coming back. Alicia, God bless you for nursing, and David for being there. I even had to call Alicia the week after to ask her something about the nebulizer. Two times. I would have never been able, long story, would have never been able to do it unless she said, yeah, you need to make sure that that piece is snapped into place. And it worked. So anyway, you can ask her about the story. But for those of you who have been here and have been there, thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. People ask how long you plan on staying until the Lord says, I need you to go somewhere else, or the board says you need to go. So, you know, and I told the board that. I said, you know, if you need me to move on, no harm, no foul. I'll take it from the Lord. So that's where I'm at, and that's where camp is. So thank you. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. And if you have any